to the POC Photography Podcast. This is show number 24, and we are trying to do this via a clever hookup that Ian Bundy set up at YouTube, where you have a choice. You can either listen to this in the usual way via your podcatcher and just get the audio, or you can head across to our new PSC Photography YouTube channel, which Ian has set up. The shortest way to get to that is tinyurl.com/PSC Photography, and you'll find your way there. And if you want to stop the audio now and head across there instead, you'll get the same show. It's just that you'll be able to see the pictures we're talking about and the slideshow and everything at the same time. If you want to stick with the audio, you can do that as well. And the PSC Photography Google Photos album is there as well. So if you want to do it the way you have been doing it, then that's good too. Very complicated. I don't know much about this video thing. Thankfully, those around me do. Some of those are here with me today. Chris Clayton is here. Joe Hickey is here. And the aforementioned Ian. So, good evening, gentlemen. Are we ready for this experiment?
We certainly are.
And give it a go.
So we're not quite sure about the content of the show. We haven't got a theme as such. We're just going to kind of run with a flyer in terms of what we've got to chat about. So just to say that this is Thursday, the 23rd of July. It's show 24. The website, our website, apart from anything to do with YouTube, is phoneshowchat.uk, because we share that with PSC. So it's phoneshowchat.uk with two S's in the middle. And we'll make sure that there are links in the various places for you to get to that, and the PSC Photography Google Photos shared album as well. So let's press on and see how we get on. It'd be great to get some feedback from you as well. If you're watching this on YouTube, let us know how it works, if it's worth all this extra mucking about, or if everyone's going to just watch it, do it the old way anyway, we won't bother. let's kick off by announcing the photo of the month for PSC photo of the month, which was the competition we ran in the MeWe group, which was for the June winner. And five great photographs as always, and the winner was our very own Ian Bundy. The people voted there for his shot, which is called "This Is Nice." And he did this with he took the shot with an Honor Magic 8 Pro. So well done to you, Ian. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, thanks, Ted. And the only reason I turned up to pick up my award. Thank you very much. I was lucky enough after the Monaco Grand Prix to have a day in Nice. And I was walking around, had great fun just with my phone for the day, taking some snapshots. And this was one I saw, and I saw the bench between the two trees and thought that would make a good sort of composition. So how I did, I took it on my phone and then I edited it in Lightroom. And probably what might be useful is just to give you a bit of a flavor of how I did that. So if I swing over to my phone, which I've got on the screen here, which you should be able to see, I can actually go into Lightroom and I can see that photograph. I can turn it round, and by the power of using an Oppo rather than an Honor phone, I can share that on the screen. So we can see that when I've taken that picture, it's gone into Lightroom Mobile. I actually use three versions of Lightroom. I have the mobile version, which synchronizes with the cloud version, so I can edit on my desktop the same photograph. But I also use Lightroom Classic for the commercial photography work that I do. But this instance, it was on my phone, onto Lightroom. And one of the great things you've got within Lightroom is you can see the versions. So we can actually see what I actually took compared to what the outcome was. So the end product is there. And what I actually took was here. So I did have the vision, so I didn't lie about that. But there was a lot of distraction in the photograph, and I think that's the beauty of where you can do an edit. So really stepping through the process of removing that sun flare out of the image, and also removing the people was the first thing I did, and then really looked at what the sort of color scheme. There was a very, very blue version, and I had a play around with the sliders, and just a comment from Chris. Once I had got rid of the distractions, it's a matter of just personal preference of playing around with the sliders until you get something that you like. So found that was a bit too blue. That was more, this version was more, I felt, in keeping with the sort of the Nice or what I was seeing. Stepped through, and that really came to the sort of the end product. So I think for one, it's really enjoyable. Even if you're taking pictures on your phone, it's amazing what you can do with the editing software, Lightroom, but also things like Snapseed to put your own touch on that photograph. So just a bit of background to that image, and light ground to other images. So you can make a dramatic transformation of images through Lightroom. So just something I was going to sort of share with you guys of how I got to that amazing award-winning photograph for this
month. It's a very Nice picture, mate.
Oh, that's the funniest thing was I can't remember who commented on it. It's because I put
it was Scott Brady.
Yeah, this is Nice, and he said, "Could you put the location?" I was like, "This is Nice." But yeah, English humor, I guess. But yeah, so that was it from me. So just really to share the edit on there. Apart from that, just maybe to touch into the last week or so of photography, I did go to the British Grand Prix and covered that, and also Goodwood. Just a few images that stood out for me a little bit. I do like the reflections. The what they have on the sculpture at Goodwood every year is something different. This year was the Singapore, which was quite interesting. And I did like, probably my favourite from the day was the dog hanging out the window of a car drifting. Again, not much artistic merit in it, but it put a smile on my face. So,
I like the bloke with the fag on the go.
Yeah, that was one of the Chelsea pensioners at the British Grand Prix. I was saying to you off the pod that I'm very conscious around taking photographs of people, especially when I've got a massive camera, professional camera. So I really struggle to try and catch people. If he wasn't looking at me, I would have liked to have got him face on. But I did like the smoke with the black background behind
him. I think
him,
the side profile is what makes it. Yeah. I really like, yeah, really good.
It was something interesting. And again, something that wasn't just what you would expect British Grand Prix photographs to be. So that was me for the last couple of weeks. Probably a lot more interesting is what Chris has been up to, traveling the world and documenting it.
Yeah, well, Chris, you've been to Thailand.
We have. I was just going to quickly ask Ian about his editing process, because that this is Nice photo seemed very, very efficient. Because it's a phone photo that you've just knocked out an edit really quickly. And with your professional images, I'm assuming that there's a much longer history on the edit.
Probably less on the professional photos. Because
you're not allowed to, right?
Yeah, it's a speed. So one of the good things about going into Lightroom is that you can apply a preset straight away. So for my motorsport stuff, I have a preset. So if I selected a photo and go to the presets, I have one called Bundes Media, which is one that I use every time I import an image into Lightroom. It applies this preset. And I have some others on there that I use probably more so for the phone photography. But you can see this one, if you can see it, it really does bring out the picture. It puts a lot more grain into the picture, which I think it brings the car out a little bit. One other thing I do with, especially on the car photography, is I do like the car to actually pop. So I do, out of the box, go through and create a mask for the subject on there. So if I go to here, we can see the mask. And what I do is bring down the highlights and bring up the shadows. So what it does is makes the car pop out of the image. And you can see the output from there, that you can see it's very fake pronounced, but that's what I like, basically. So yeah, I think for I've got a lot more room to move on my own photographs and have a plan around with those. And I do
Could you not get rid of the platform? Do you not think it would have been better if you'd just got rid of the thing the car was sitting on?
I like that. It's like a leading line kind of thing.
I think that's the beauty of photography, isn't it? It's like everybody has a different view to it. To me, it brings a question in of what on earth's going on there. If you didn't know that was a sculpture at Goodwood, it's like, what on earth is that sort of thing?
That's what I was going to say, though. It's immediately recognisable as Goodwood, isn't it? Which is quite a good thing.
But also what I like about Lightroom is that it enables you to save really bad photographs and turn them. It's maybe the expression is maybe polishing a turd, but this one here was from Shanghai. So you could see the original photo, and after the edits, I put on a neon edit onto there. So you can see very how the difference between the two on there.
That's cool.
Side by side, so you can see the difference between the before and after for that image. Likewise for this one. This is one I really liked, but you can see I'm not a very good photographer and maybe better editor than I am a photographer. But yeah, but it's amazing what you can do in post, and I think we've brought this up again. I know Chris say that half the fun or the art or what you apply is what you can actually do in an edit to bring something out of the photograph to put your sort of style on it. Long answer. I normally just apply a preset to my work stuff, but take a lot more care from a my photo perspective, really. Or if there's one that from a work photo that I want to put in my portfolio or something like that, I'd put a lot more work into it, Chris.
Cool.
So I sort of took over for a minute, so apologies, but Chris, you were talking about going to Thailand for what, 6 weeks or?
Yeah, 6 weeks. It was really, really good. As I said before I left, it wasn't necessarily a photography trip, dedicated photography trip, although obviously I took every bit of photography gear I had with me. It was a really, really good trip. We kind of saw, probably did about 2,000 or 3,000 miles around the country, saw the city, saw the mountains, saw the beaches. So yeah, I'm really, really happy with a lot of the photos I got, but you know, more importantly, we had a really, really good time. But that said, I have put what I think is probably the pick. It's quite hard to know, sort of narrow down. I ended up picking about 20 images, I think, in there. I think it's hard to sort of separate the experience of taking the image and where you are a lot of the time with the quality of the photo. And I'm still sort of, it's still so recent that it's tricky to sort of pick out what I think is the objectively the best photo. But for me, I would pick out the monk as he walks in waving the flag. I don't know if you can find that one, Ian. I'll go up a bit. On this the right one, yeah. There. No, it's the next one. It's to the left.
This one?
No. The one with the flag.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. Sorry.
That one, yeah. That one. So obviously all those images were taken at the same time. He went to a temple in a place called Phetchabun, which is basically the only thing there is this temple. It's quite a rural area. But we got there just as they were closing, and we had no idea, but there was something called a Tudong, which is like monks kind of make a pilgrimage from one location to another. This was on their route. It might have been their end stop. A few hundred mile walk, and they arrived at this temple just after the temple had closed, but we managed to hang back as they arrived, and me and my wife were literally the only non-monks there, basically. And we got to experience quite a magical evening. It was really, really fantastic. And as these monks walked in, I was able I had free rein basically to walk around the temple and take pictures however I wanted. They were really, really welcoming. The total opposite experience of Morocco, where
there were no concerns about you using your camera or anything like that.
None at all. The monks, they had two or three of their own photographer monks. I guess you could say they had some Canon gear and pretty high end gear themselves. There were monks as well, but they were photographing it and documenting it, and they were happy. They shook my hand and sort of said Sony at me a few times. it was a really magical experience for me. Yeah, that was the pick of the photos, that one and the monk on his own just to the left of that one, Ian, that one there.
Yeah,
that's probably one of my favorites as well. I just find it captures the mood so well. Maybe I can share my screen and just show edit on that.
While you're doing that, I just wanted to talk about that image. I really like the way the flag frames the temple in the background, but the temple's almost a secondary thing, isn't it? Because the monk is the main thing, I think.
Yeah, so this was like a burst mode shot. I captured the monk as he walked sort of into the frame and out of the frame, and I was really happy that I got, because my camera's quite slow, it's not like a mega fast frames a second like Ian's is, so only a few frames a second I can do. I managed to avoid the flag overlapping the temple, which sounds like a silly thing, but stuff like that I really noticed, so I was really happy there's that gap there. There is a little bit of motion blur. The settings, 1/1125 a second, F10. So obviously I was quite concerned about getting the temple in focus. I didn't want it to be distractingly out of focus. But it is way darker than it looks. So maybe what I'll do is show you the original, which is here. I'm shooting at 16 millimeters, and I know when I'm taking the image that I'm going to correct the perspective. I'm going to straighten it, and that's going to result in a big crop, which is why it might look like a lazy composition, but I deliberately knew that temple was going to come forward and to the right, which is why there's a massive gap down the side there. And I've left a gap underneath because I knew that the whole scene would be sort of tilted forward after it's been perspective corrected. So that was something that I was really proud of myself, kind of thinking ahead, and in my mind's eye, I kind of had this finished image that we got in the end.
Which just shows you that skill and experience goes hand in hand, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm really anal about straight lines and perspective, so I've done it so many times now that I know that it does give you a big crop, which is where the high resolution comes in. I can look at the history, and you can see that it's probably... I haven't looked at this, but I'm guessing there's a long list. Okay, so this is every one of these lines down the left there is some kind of edit.
Just for the audio listeners, it could be a whole new episode if we went through.
Yeah, sorry, I should say there is a fair amount of... So to walk through this editing process would be a multiple hour
So what aperture did you shoot that at, Chris?
F10.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously with the wider focal length, you're going to have more depth of field anyway, but I was still quite concerned.
Everything in focus.
Because, yeah, as much as you can check on camera, you never really know, do you, until you get on a bigger screen. And F10's kind of was pushing it in terms of light. ISO 800, so I probably could have pushed the ISO a bit more. But I thought 1/125th was enough. But to be honest, I don't mind that little bit of motion blur on his foot and on the flag.
No. I think it adds to the image.
Yeah, I think it adds a little bit to the image without it being too much.
Yeah, I agree.
So that one and this one as well, I was really happy with. So this is to show you that they were really just fine. This is with a 70-200 at 200mm f4. I really like the kind of depth of field fall off on this.
What was the original? Yeah. How did the original look, Chris? Set of interest.
Let's give my MacBook time to catch up. It's loading. There you go. That's the original. So it's got these very garish Sony colours, which at first I kind of liked, and now I'm doing my utmost to tone down in the edit. So, the auto white balance and the dynamic range is quite strong on the Sony. So, yeah, I actually turned the colours down and turned the dynamic range down, if that makes sense, in the edit. So I just wanted to add a mood of kind of serene, kind of understated mood to the image, which I was quite happy with this. I did this from scratch using the Adobe Neutral profile, which you'll see on the right-hand side there, on the top right, which is a very flat colour profile, and everything you do, it kind of builds on that. And, yeah, there's the history on that. Again,
matte look to it, isn't it?
Matte look, that's what I was going for, yeah. So it's kind of raised blacks, kind of a lower contrast, and just kind of a very simple, subtle, serene.
Do you use any presets that you have to kick off with?
I do. So I used so on the first couple of days, I went to a place called Telat Pulu in Bangkok, which is like a lesser known suburb of the city. Oh. And I edited a few street photos. This is the only one I picked to show in the group. And then I saved this as a preset. And I used this preset on all of my Thailand images, all of the street ones. So you can see in the presets. So that's what I've saved to Lat Plu. And then I've applied that to most of the images in the rest of the album.
Can you say why, Chris, for people that might be listening that don't know what you're talking about?
It just saves a series of adjustments, white balance, colour grading, any grain that you've added. And then you normally would apply it to a set of photos within the same session, so they all have a consistency.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're doing a batch edit, it's nice to get that baseline, so, and then you can tweak individuals after.
So that's that one. And then all these have the same. They've all got the same consistency with the colours, the colour grade.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's my wife looking at what they're in. Yeah, so I just find it helpful. It saves a lot of time for images that you're not too fussed about. So you're not sort of editing every photo from scratch. But then on later days, I just ended up applying that just as a shortcut, basically.
Right.
And then normally you wouldn't just leave it as a preset, as Ian will tell you. You would apply the preset and then you'd make adjustments on each image as you went along.
I think my camera, I can apply LUTs in camera. I think
you can, yeah. Can you apply LUTs to raw images, and then you might have issues once you export them? That's the only issue.
Yeah, I think it'd be JPEG, won't it?
Oh, you know. So yeah, so that trip to Temple, really happy. I got some sort of ones a bit earlier in the day, just as the sun was coming down. This one I really like, just kind of the monk and the temple looking at each other. I think that's quite a dramatic image.
There was one that you took and put in the PSC photos group with the five faces there, just isolated in the frame, which I thought was quite nice.
I should be able to find that for you, Ted.
It doesn't appear to be there in that group.
It's not
there it is.
Yeah, so that's with the iPhone.
Yeah.
Once you see it on a bigger screen, you can see like the phone-ness of it all is a bit more apparent. Like, there's a lot of banding. There's horrible noise reduction.
It's the AI with the zoom as well a bit there, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's crap, yeah. The crappy little iPhone mini I has no zoom lens.
Softened some bits.
It works well as a small image, that, but doesn't really hold up to scrutiny.
Still a lovely image, though, isn't it? It's just...
I like the composition, yeah. I do like
the composition. What's the black one there? Is that the same thing, but just you've got very much the same photograph, but the black background, one row down, two across.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This one or that one?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, this was taken with my actual camera.
Oh, I like that. I like the shadows on that. That's, yeah.
I think I did a little edit to this, but I didn't really like it enough to spend too much time on it.
I like it, though.
I did a bit more work on. But you can see the difference. I don't know if you can see, if it's coming through okay, but the difference in quality is absolutely like light years between the phone image and the...
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
The camera image.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was the highlight of the trip, probably, was that evening at the temple. But I'm... also got some really nice cityscapes. This picture is my current desktop wallpaper.
Yeah, that's very desktop, that, isn't it?
Yeah. This is a small water feature in a roof garden of a shopping centre. You can see the original. So it's not a million miles from the edit. Obviously, the raw image captures the data, and then it's up to you to kind of choose which bits to accent. Obviously, I just added bits of cyan to the sky and up the exposure and brought out the greens in the trees. But apart from that, there's not tons. But yeah, when I took the image, nice. I thought, yeah, this would be my desktop wallpaper for a few months, I think.
Yeah, yeah, very nice.
And there's tons of detail if my MacBook ever loads. The buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Also got some light trails. The most interesting one is probably boat light trails over the river.
That's very good, isn't it?
So this is in the album. This is 600 seconds, 10 minutes.
The effect with the clouds as well has gone with it. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, that's why I picked this one. I've got some others that I took. Sorry, if it takes a while for my MacBook to load. Yeah, so there were some others that were sort of picturesque as well, like this one. That's a slightly tighter focal length. There's probably more balanced light trails, but
yeah,
I like the sort of the asynchronous nature of it. Sort of this blue streak on the right. I find that more interesting than having it all kind of symmetrical. And like Joe said, I think the sky is kind of just at the right time where I've got the mix of the sunset and the light
trails. That building on the right is fascinating, I think. Some close-ups of just that multitude of rooms with different coloured lights and lights off and lights on. That building would make a good study, I think.
There's a lot of buildings like that there. Yeah.
Image very interesting. There's loads of points of interest, isn't there? Like the light trails, the sky, the buildings. Yeah, it's really interesting.
An image like this kind of works a lot better on a bigger screen. It's quite hard and it's quite frustrating when you're sharing it on phones. Because
it's a great canvas, wouldn't it, that one?
You just can't see. Like, there's so many. You can see, like, sort of two-thirds down the screen, there's just all these little boat trails, all the small boats. These are all hotel crossing boats that cross from one side of the river to the next.
You say it was
all of that will be lost.
10-minute exposure, Chris.
10 minutes, yeah. Yeah, so all the multicolored lights, that is, like they have these nighttime cruises, like party boats and things like that, and they've all got these different lights. if you're wondering why there's sort of crazy colours. If I get the original out. My MacBook does not want to show me the original. But got this is a well-known spot in Chinatown, which is actually really hard to get to now because it's so popular that they have a security guard blocking access. It's taken in a car park. But when we went there, the security guard was sleeping, so we tiptoed around him and managed to get this image. I'm not crazy about the image. It's too bright overall, so the light trails don't pop as I want them to. But it was fun getting the photo, so it was a good experience.
That's a nice story to go with it. I love that.
Yeah, it was fun. Got a couple of minimal images. This is probably one of my favourite images, and this was taken on my phone.
Mm. Yeah, I do like that.
Chris, you use the iPhone Mini 13,
yes,
which probably is a better camera than some of the newer ones. Do you not feel you are maybe potentially missing stuff if you haven't got a better camera phone? Or
yeah, I've definitely missed, not in terms of
use your camera more.
Not in terms of image quality. I've definitely missed the zoom lens. The iPhone Mini's only got an ultra wide, which is near unusably bad, and a main lens at 24mm. So I have missed the kind of 3x option of a better phone. But I don't think I would really upgrade a phone just for that.
You could always try a moment lens on it to give you some telephoto.
I can't be asked. I tried all that before, and it was just.
Oh, did you?
Just the right old faff, yeah. And I've got.
Well, moments not so bad because you can get cases that it goes into, which makes it quite easy.
Yeah, I did.
It's not cheap.
I bought the moment case, and I bought some ND filters, and then about a month later, I bought my first camera and never used it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's back in the day, I had the anamorphic lens, the moment lens, and things like that, and it turns into a faff, and then sometimes it's easier to use the camera than...
It is easier to use the camera, yeah. 100%. This image I was really happy with as well.
Yeah, I like that one, yeah. I remember seeing that in the group. It was really very impressive. I like that.
This was taken from our hotel room window. We got quite a decent room to see the bay. This is like a fishing town called Prachuk Kirikan in southern Thailand. It's not like a beach resort, it's just a fishing town, so there's just these fishing boats always out in the bay, but at night time they sort of light up different colors and it attracts various fish. It's quite a challenging scene to shoot because it's, if I can show you the original, so that went through Photoshop, that's the original, and that's pretty much how the scene looked. So there's quite a bit of work went into the edit. And I shot multiple exposures. I tried exposure stacking. It didn't really work. So this was ISO 800 at 1 second.
That's an amazing photo. The trouble is, Chris, you've got too many good photos in that batch that you've uploaded. That again, they seem to be all sort of bangers. And
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah. I wanted to pick out five. But like I said before, it's hard for me to know whether they're good photos or whether I just had a good time taking them, if you know what I mean. So,
sorry, Ian, we go to mine in a bit, and then that's when we see some crap ones to give some balance to the show.
this is an Instagram spot. Another one where it's quite hard to get into. It's a car park inside an office block, and we have to kind of blag our ways in. Luckily, my wife is Thai, which helps. And you just kind of you get this Mahal Nakhon Tower, which is a tourist tower in Bangkok, and then you just wait for the SkyTrain to come past. So
that's really cool.
I'll show you. That's the original. Again, you correct for perspective. We went to this railway market where you've probably seen it, where they close all the market stalls up as the train comes through.
Yes.
Which is probably the least interesting thing about the market. The more interesting images are to be had like these, I think.
So is that a real tourist trap? I mean, is it?
Yeah, it's horrible, Ian. It's nightmare fuel. It's absolutely horrible. We went on the quietest time of the year and the quietest day of the week, and it was still. So, but when it rained, I was really happy because it enabled shots like this. So where people are rushing away from the rain, they don't mind when there's a camera in their face. So you kind of...
Last thing they're worried about, isn't it? Is they've got too many other worries.
Ham and just go for it. But yeah, this is the train coming through. You can see how horrendous the
I think that makes it better, isn't it? Sometimes getting a perspective of what it's actually like, of everyone there with a... It's like going to a concert, a gig or something, and
yeah,
get a picture of just a wall of camera phones. A bit of a realistic view rather than trying to get rid of them.
That's what I was trying to do with this image, and I just need one more person in the bottom middle there to fill up the frame, and then it's kind of like a semicircle. But
no, but I like the little gap there just showing the track fully. I think
So you can see I took quite a few images of the rain and people escaping the rain, this gentleman here, and also from the people on the train. Everyone's taking pictures of the train, but I was trying to get some people off the train, and I really like this one. I don't know why I like it. I just find it kind of the way she's drinking. Just looks like she's just not interested at all.
That guy's doing the peace sign as well.
So I don't know if there's any other images there that you wanted to have a look at, but overall, I'm just really happy with the images I got. I managed to use all my lenses, and I didn't feel like I was missing out on any lenses, so I didn't come home wishing I'd bought another lens, so I'm really happy with that.
What's the one third from last with the lots of white?
This is from the same place the nighttime fishing boats was taken. This is in the morning. This has been heavily edited and photoshopped. I can show you the very original. So I've moved the boat to make it more pleasing, and that's the original.
Right.
So I mean the lines and the texture is still there, but I've just obviously
made it more pleasing to the eye.
And I don't know if I'd class that as a photo, more like a digital art kind of thing. But I really like the textures underneath on the reflections, and just this sort of splashy yellow coming from the chap with the boat.
It's wonderful.
Very good.
I see a rainbow
A very rare wildlife image from me as well. Yeah. it's a real rainbow. Don't worry. That's the original. So you can see that the rainbow is indeed real. Very happy with my haul back. And like Ian said, I didn't really know where to start picking them out. Even got a drone one. Didn't get a lot of drone usage as they're not allowed. But probably to pick my drone photos as well, just a top down.
The security guard was sleeping at this point as well, so he went for it.
So what this was will you consider maybe trying to print some of them or get a photo book or just to
I
get
really
that tangible outcome?
I really want to get a tangible kind of end product to it. I'd love to print a couple of images and put them on the wall because we've just redecorated our flat and the walls are bare, so it's prime.
I think you should make a photo book of not just this trip but some other trips you've had as well. I reckon you can make a fabulous little book.
I don't know. They're quite expensive, those photo books.
Yeah, they.
But that's something to keep, isn't it? Forever. I think it'll be lovely.
But having a play around with some, I mean, printing is. I know I bought a printer, and it's an expensive, but it's a very fun way to burn money. But the output sometimes is really epic. But even just using someone like Whitewall or something like that to one of those, like the squid photo, the night one, that on a metallic paper or something like that would be pretty epic. I mean, when you start then getting into different papers and pigments of how that would look, I mean, that takes another step on from the edit.
Yeah, I think some images can lend themselves to any kind of paper, but ones like that, yeah, I think you could go wrong. yeah, I think metallic would work. Like, yeah. You know, but,
or the platinum.
I wouldn't know which ones to print. That's the other thing. I wouldn't know really where to start and what would work well and what wouldn't.
Well, we can help you make it one day. We'll be just people that decide. We tell you.
I'll just go around Ian's house so you can print them for me.
You send them to me and I'll print them and we'll offer an online store.
One last shout out, Chris, for the sixth one from the end, which you didn't mention. Sixth from the end.
That one?
Yeah, that one, which is okay. Really interesting looking.
Mm.
Yeah, this is one of the highway. The road infrastructure is crazy in Bangkok. It's like 3-4 levels all over the place. It's embarrassing for our country how much they've kind of developed their infrastructure. This is unsurprisingly not the original.
Really?
The original is not even that. No, that's the original.
And that's got a charm of its own as well.
Yeah. It has. I quite like that on its own, but it doesn't really grab attention. You need a reflection, I think. You can get...
You got the starburst, didn't you, on the light? Have you got
which kind of got lost in the edit, which I was quite disappointed about, and I tried to rescue. You can get reflections on this water here in the right time of year, but unfortunately I went in rainy season, so the water was a bit sort of roughed up.
If I like the bursts of light in the water, I think that looks great. Like fireballs.
Okay, maybe I'll work and see if I can get something out of this.
I'd love to see an alternative edit. Yeah.
I find it a bit messy and I don't like the paths. This is a panorama, by the way. Not one photo. I think this is about 6 or 7 photos stitched together. But you can see, obviously, this is a flat path, and then on the right and the left, that's a straight path that I'm standing on.
And switch us back to the one that we first looked at again.
This one.
Yeah, I think they're both really good. I think on balance, I'd rather have the other one, though.
Yeah, I think we're with you.
Yeah,
so you're obsessed with reflections.
I'm just obsessed with reflections and symmetry, and I can get carried away. I'm my own worst enemy sometimes, for sure.
Yeah, I'd like to see an alternative edit. That's your homework for the next show, I'd say.
I'll see what I can do.
Thanks a lot, Chris. That's great. Okay, Joe, let's move across to see what... I don't know if you can take control of the screen in this YouTube window. Some of these discussions, you really are going to have to go across to the YouTube channel to see what we're talking about with jumping around between... Ian and Chris's edits, for example. You're just going to lose that completely on the, even if you're looking at the shared photo album, you won't see all of that. So encourage you to go across, and I'll give you the URL again. It's at tinyurl.com/PSC photography, and you'll be able to slide in there and do it the other way. Joe.
So first thing I need to say is do not compare my Formula One images to Ian's. He is a professional and I am very much not. Also didn't have the correct kit really. I was there. I managed to go to Silverstone with Motorola. And I thought, I've got to take my camera, haven't I? I've got to. Even though I've only got a 100mm macro lens, which is not the perfect lens for this type of thing, but I brought it with me anyway and snapped away. They've all had subtle edits. So if we go from the top left over, I tried to do a few panning shots of the cars, but this one didn't come out too great. It was hard to get the focus right, but I still quite like this one because the focus is kind of on the crowd. And do you know what? It is very much about the people as well at Formula One, which I think Ian agrees with.
Yeah.
This one, the next one is Red Bull car. Is it Red Bull, isn't it? Yeah. Again, it came in focus, that one, a little bit more, so I was pleased with it, because I took loads and loads were crap. This is probably my favorite one of Lewis Hamilton, but I went for a black and white background just to highlight the Silverstone F1 and the actual car itself. Basic edit, but
I suppose one of the differences with motorsport is that Ian, because of what he does professionally, is the other side of the fence.
And yes, yeah.
Poor you, you've got to try and make something through the fence.
Yeah, that's a heavy crop there as well, as you can see, because it's all from the same location. And panning as well. It's not easy to do, Ian, I must say.
Not for a fence, no. But I mean, there is some stuff you can do. Again, with a long lens, you can get rid of the fence. But again, for a pan, from where you are, it's very difficult.
Yeah, but I had good fun doing it. And I mean, that Lewis Hamilton, I was quite pleased with. I took some people shots as well. These ladies, she was like walking along the yellow line, which took my eye. Snapped away at that one. This one was just when we went around the back of the pits and I saw these signs. I had the intention of adding black and white and colour with this one. Some people think it's shit, but I liked it.
That's cool.
these Ferrari ladies. Again, I was trying to get groups of fans in different shots. It's really cool because I didn't realise that everyone was going to be in fan kit of different teams. I guess it makes sense, but I've never been to Formula One track before.
Was it your first race then?
Yeah, first race. Wow. I've been to. Cool. She was quite interesting, this lady.
I quite like that one. I think the blur in the background is just about right, and it's focused well on the subject.
Yeah, this is where the 100mm lens was actually was quite good for this particular shot. It worked out nice. She just took my eyes, quite interesting. This one, the next one I had the intention, there's some McLaren fans there, and I had the intention of always making them in colour and the rest black and white to make them really pop. I mean, everywhere I was looking, you could see the McLaren fans. And the only ones that popped more was the Lando fans, Ian, in the bright yellow, because there was a Lando stand as well, wasn't there? Which is really, I would love to have got some shots of that with a similar view to do like a edit like this. But not amazing shots, but I really had good fun. I don't get out with my camera often enough. So it was nice to.
That's really funny, that one.
Yeah, again, the mum and daughter just caught my eye. It's another fun shot, really, that one.
Yeah.
Bit of a rubbish edit there. I could probably spend a lot more time on it. But
it's quite amazing. Yeah, you do get a variety of people. It's not.
Yeah, you really do.
It is a real cross-section of young people as well as older people. And you definitely get some characters to photograph it.
Yeah. And that's what I was trying to capture, really. I wish I took more, but I mean, I did take more, but some of them were crap, so I haven't shared them. But I certainly don't snap enough, and that's what we always say, don't we, on here? Just let your finger go and take shots, especially with the ability to edit and crop and do stuff like that afterwards. You can always make an image afterwards. But yeah, again, like I say, I enjoyed it. It's not at Ian's level, nowhere near, but it's good that I got out for once.
And you enjoy shooting. Nice. I mean, I think that's the other thing, is that you can't get away from the emotion you get when you do take shots, and when you look back on them, and again, the memory of actually taking the photo as well, I think.
Yeah.
Is pretty cool.
Very good. Well done, Joe, for getting out there, unlike me. So at least you took photographs, even if you don't like half of them. Let's move on to the news. We've got a couple of photos from that were put into the shared album. Sorry about that, I almost forgot. These are by Chad Dixon, and I don't know, Ian, do you want to lead us through these two? I think there's two, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a couple from Edinburgh. I do like, there's a lot of sort of city photography in black and white that Chad does. And again, it proves that you don't need to have the latest camera. So he's using an S25 FE. But I do like a lot of the shots that he takes. And again, there's lots of people and sort of architecture. And I think the black and white on those works really well. And again, people shots with the reflection and again, the tower in the background. I think it's really cool. But again, you have the power to do that. Even if you don't have the latest phone or the latest camera equipment, you can take something really interesting.
Worth noting as well that he uses Snapseed, which is a free bit of software from Google.
It's about having an eye, isn't it? It's seeing images in your eye. And I used to find this, you know, back when I was using my cameras in the film days, and probably even more important then when you've got to pay for every shot you take. Just having an eye to see, yeah, that'll work. I'm going to fire that. And, or taking Joe's method from earlier, he said, to just shoot everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you, Chad, for putting those in the group. Now, we're going to just cover a couple of bits of news here. Chris, do you want to lead us with the news?
I guess the biggest new release since we've been off is the Sony RX10 4 or 5?
5.
I don't know if Ian can open the article, because this has been kind of a divisive launch from the reviewers. The Pixel were quite down on it, but a lot of people were quite up on it. I'm not really a bridge camera enthusiast. I didn't really know what a bridge camera was, to be honest, until this came out, and it got kind of a renaissance of coverage. But for me, the price does not justify remotely what this camera offers, but a lot of people seem to think that it does. It's kind of an odd package, because it's like a Sony A7 V body with supposedly all the AI autofocus, but it's kind of paired with a ancient, by all accounts, like 15-year-old 1-inch sensor and an equally ancient 24-600 variable aperture lens, which... I guess the selling point is that focal range is kind of crazy for one lens, and 1 inch is decent. 1 inch is a decent sensor size to get that focal range.
Chris, I reckon you should read out them pros and cons, because that really highlights what you're saying.
I can't see compact that on and my light. Screen. Go on, Jay.
Extreme zoom, improved ergonomics and UI for the pros. Unreliable autofocus, poor low light performance. Slow for the cons.
I think the cons are kind of, what do you expect? You know, it's 1-inch sensor, and then you're putting a very slow aperture on. People, you can get these 1-inch phones, people go, well, you can get a 1-inch phone, a 1-inch camera sensor and a phone, but obviously that is only in one lens of the phone and only at one focal length, and this is throughout the whole focal range. But conversely, most of those phones are at, what, 1.7 or 1.4? What's this? 4-point-something or other at the long end?
I can see the appeal, though. I mean, if you look at them cons, you can work against them, right, and make sure you have them in mind when you're shooting. Just don't take loads of low-light shots.
Yeah.
For a start.
But it's an expensive... I mean, one thing I did hear, I think I was listening to Kev Wright, that he was a massive fan of this and was in the queue to buy one of these. We should maybe try and get him on to help us understand the rationale behind it. As us not being bridge camera people, but he seemed to be.
There is a lot of people that are fans, aren't there, that love them.
I think Kev's in it for the zoom range, and he's always liked to have those. I remember him having a Nikon and a Lumix that just was such a huge zoom range. And by his own admission, I don't think he cares about the 1-inch sensor. That's not the point. In this day and age, I think he concludes that for what he wants to do with these photographs, that's okay for him. Might not be for everyone, but to get f4 at 600mm for him is actually good enough. Of course, Kev's very welcome to come on and explain himself, but I think knowing over time, I think it's probably what he would say.
I guess it depends what you're doing with the photos. Are you trying to create works of art, you know, or are you just trying to document things that you've seen? And if you're just sort of documenting things that you see, then the 1 inch doesn't really matter, like you say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't really know why you would just take random photos of things that you see. That's just...
Well, 1 inch is good enough for some people, you know.
Yeah,
so,
If you squint, it could be bigger. But yeah, I think the main issue is the price of me. You can get a Sony 200, 600 and a Sony, some kind of full-frame Sony camera for the same price as this. Obviously, you're looking at a massive...
you can flip the argument to have a lens. Setup. Yeah, that's it. The weight would be much heavier, wouldn't it?
I think this is still fairly chunky, though. 1.3 kilos, I think, isn't it, this bridge camera?
Mm. Yeah.
But
it's, the thing about photography is...
I think that's probably the thing that we don't have the experience that...
It may I think Sony need to send us all one, and we'll have a play. And then, yeah.
How much is it? We'll 2,200, isn't it?
That's 2,300.
Yeah.
Is it? Wow.
Or maybe that might be dollars. I think that's pounds.
I'm sure I was listening to Kev and it was over $2,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely over $2,000. It might be 2,100, but it's in that territory.
I reckon I'd have fun shooting with it, but...
I mean, you've got such a huge range there, but... yeah.
That range is crazy, isn't it, for one lens?
Yeah.
They're not saying, are they? Nowhere in that text does it say how much it is.
Especially if you looked it up on Wex or something, it would...
yeah.
Oh, there you go. $2,300. Yeah. $2,300.
Dollars.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, the images look okay, but they're just not £2,300 worth.
Yeah.
I think that's my main issue with it. And also, there's no pre-cratcher, and I think that was a bit of a daft omission, because on such a small sensor, it really shouldn't be a problem, especially with the latest Sony chip. So, I can see why they use the same lens. It's obviously not worth them manufacturing an entirely new lens for such a niche camera.
That's a strange photo to showcase it with, isn't it?
No, that's what you're saying. You know about pre-capture? That's where it would be useful.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because he's highlighting that with that image.
Anyway, maybe we'll have a Kev special and he can tell us why we're all wrong about bridge cameras.
Yeah, you're very welcome to come on.
I'm sure Gavin had one as well at one point and he's raving about it.
He's done everything, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's true.
He has everything. He raves about all of it until he sells it. So.
Okay, what's up?
Might be of interest to you. It's on Nikon as well.
Yeah. 1220. I've got this sort of holy trinity of lenses, so I'm not sure why I would get this.
How wide is your wide?
So my wide is 14.
14. You got the 14 to 24.
And 2.8. So,
just to explain to the audio crowd that we're looking at the Tamron 12-20mm f/2.8, which is about 1500 quid by the looks of it.
Yeah, so it's 1450 on Sony and 1530 on Nikon. I don't know why you pay more for Nikon.
Tamron, any good these days?
Well, I don't like them, but this seems like it's a step up in quality from their previous entries. I've had quite a few Tamron lenses, and they didn't last long. They've got terrible coatings. But from what I've seen, this looks on par with the Sigma stuff. It does appeal to me. 12mm, my widest. I've got a 16 to 35, and I've also got a 9mm prime. So I would like a 12 to 24. Which is £3,500 on the Sony lens. So something like this, probably a little bit more viable for me. But yeah.
It's talking about a new design language on that one. Do you guys know what it's talking about with that? Or
loads and buttons, basically.
That's good. Just, yeah. I was going to say Ted will smile with that.
Insane amount of buttons. It's way too many. And you have to have the Tamron app to program them and plug it in and all this.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. You can program one of the three custom buttons, but if you want to do all three, you have to have the Tamron app.
Cameron, back in the day, was always a really good... For those of us that couldn't afford Mark lenses, primes and all the rest of it, Tamron was a really, really good second or third or whatever alongside Sigma. Tamron had a really good reputation then, but
they've really come a long way. And then Tamron's, I think they're trying to catch up.
Right.
But of course, all that happens is the prices go up and up, and then you kind of, the gap between first party and Sigma is a lot less, and you wonder why bother, you know?
Yeah.
You end start up with a bridge camera.
Well, you start working down the makes then. So
yeah.
You can't afford a Sigma. You can't afford a Tamron. We'll buy a Vivitar or a
Topina. So many of these Chinese. It's all Chinese stuff now, Ted.
Viltrox are doing good stuff.
Yeah. I've not had any Viltroxes, but I understand they're quite sharp, from
what I've seen.
It's not a sharpness that I've had issues with. It's lens coatings and flaring.
Capturing
dynamic range, those kind of issues that you can tell a difference.
Okay, and one more last bit of news about your beloved Sony.
Not my cup of tea, but maybe Joe might have a bit more insight. This is their Sony FX5. The FX is their cinema cameras.
So
this is basically that's brilliant.
This is part of $5,000, so I don't know if it's worthwhile or not, but yeah, open gate. No. I don't even know what open gate is.
Yeah, so it uses the full sensor, doesn't it? Open gate, is that right? And you can do vertical,
you just get a 3x2 video basically.
Yeah, so you can do, right. And you can record like a landscape and a portrait at the same time. So in post, you can do any content you like from one lot of recording.
So what makes it a cinema phone as opposed a camera as opposed to a ordinary good quality Sony camera? Does anyone know?
Well, the sensor's designed for video, so it's normally a lot lower resolution.
Right.
Because you're just sort of outputting at 4K for the most part. So they've got 16 megapixels.
So they've got one that's 12 megapixels, which are quite good.
Yeah, the FX3, which is exactly 4K, isn't it?
So shouldn't that make them cheaper then, with lesser sensors?
No, it's not lesser in the sense that the sensor's still good, it's just less megapixels.
So that each pixel can gather more light per video. Thanks very much, particularly Ian, for setting all this up and going to doing all the background work on this. It's a really interesting experiment. Let us know what you thought about it, whether you did go and tune into the YouTube channel at tinyurl.com/PSC photography. Just to let you know, if you just go to YouTube and look for PSC photography, you'll end up with someone else's YouTube channel that have got that. So we've actually got an elongated name with a few characters at the end. So the best way to get in there is tinyurl.com/PSC photography and then bookmark it, so next time you won't need to worry about it. If you've been listening to the audio feed for this podcast, as usual, don't forget that you can go to the PSC Photography Shared Album in Google Photos. We'll put links to all that in our website at phoneshowchat.uk. Two S's in the middle of that again, of course. And based on what sort of feedback we get from this experiment, we'll invite you to join us again in a couple of weeks' time, when we'll be talking about something we'll dream up in terms of a theme. And I hope you've enjoyed it. Please do let us know in the MeWe group and wherever else you can get hold of us. We'll see how we go moving forward. So that's it for now, and hopefully you'll join us again in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, see you in the MeWe group. Bye for now.
Bye now.
Bye. Bye.